You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to another live installment of the Powerhouse Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, September 21st. Spent a great day today with my wife and daughter at a park here in Memphis. Great weather, and going to be an even more delightful, or equally delightful show, I guess. Couldn't be better than that, but going to be an equally delightful show tonight here on the radio airwaves. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here with you during the first hour of tonight's live broadcast. Tonight's going to be one of those rare occurrences where you will hear from each of the Political Cesspool co-hosts. Very rarely now do we all have the opportunity to appear in the same single broadcast. Keith's with me in the first hour. Winston Smith, with the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist, will overcome his loss of hearing to be with us in the second hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller also on deck, and maybe we'll even hear from Peter Scoop Stanton, or a correspondent tonight. So all the hosts will be front and center this evening. But folks, first of all, as we've been doing here over the course of the last several months now, I guess all summer, focusing on a selection of listener email here to start the show, we might go into the second segment of tonight's first hour with some emails, because they are coming in an absolute deluge of emails and some questions for Keith Alexander amongst the pile of correspondence this week. Folks, again, as I always say, we read every email you send in. We can't answer them all. We certainly can't read them all on the air, but we are thankful for all of them equally. This was an interesting one, Keith. It's addressed to me, you, and Eddie. Found your radio program recently, about 2 months ago. It's great. The archive is an absolute goldmine. I'm, of course, listening backwards, chronologically speaking, and have just reached the beginning of this year. Sometimes I have the time to enjoy two full-length shows in a single day. Keep up the fantastic work. Stay proud. A donation will be sent electronically to you soon. That comes from Henrik in Sweden, Keith. So a new listener from Sweden, just found the show a few weeks ago, and has now already listened to each of the programs of 2013 in the broadcast archives. Henrik, welcome to the program. We hope you'll be here with us for a long time to come.
It's always good and always very gratifying and humbling to learn that we have such a diverse worldwide audience. White people and intelligent people, people that quest for the truth and won't accept half-truths, exist everywhere, and quite frankly, they exist in all races and in all nations. And those are the type of people we attract as listeners. And thank you very much, Henrik. I hope you will continue to find that we meet your needs for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because that's all we deal with here at the Political Cesspool.
And I don't know, Keith, what I enjoy more about the listener mail, the diversity from which these people hail, geographic diversity, of course, all over the world, or the fact that it's just such powerful and uplifting correspondence. This one comes in, you just heard from a new listener in Sweden. How about this one from a gentleman, first-time writer to the show, but been listening for a number of years. I've listened to you for years, he writes, from here in Hawaii, an Hawaiian listener, Keith. The supposedly most racially harmonious state in the union is anything but, and of course, the whites bear the brunt of the slurs and attacks from the other non-racist, peace-loving, brown-skinned Hawaiian people. Amazingly enough, the liberal Jewish lobby has a strong power base here in Hawaii as well, and it's evident in the myriad of regulations and unending bureaucracy existing here, ensuring that only the insiders get any government jobs or contracts, as well as every left-wing agenda being promoted in the local schools and media. This state has consistently stood out as the least business-friendly environment in the United States, and has now got the proud new governor, has made headlines with his blather about homosexual marriage. Please continue to share the message of truth. I hope and believe that we're waking up. That comes from Stephen in Hawaii, a listener who's been with us for years, and we're hearing for him now this week for the first time. And Stephen, great to have you all the way out there in the Pacific Ocean.
Keep the faith, Stephen. I know it's tough out there in blue state America, quite frankly, I think our only hope is for secession to happen. I don't care whether it's red states seceding from a predominantly blue state America or blue states seceding from a predominantly red state America. But once we have the lines of demarcation permanently set, you can move to a red state, blue staters misplaced or that are mismatched living in a red state can move to the blue state region. And hopefully then the blue state America can be as liberal as they want to be, and hopefully the red state America can be as conservative as we wish to be. That's the only long-term formula for peace that I see in America, and it's what our ancestors, the ancestors of us here on the broadcast staff at the cesspool, that's what they were fighting for in the Civil War. They weren't fighting to preserve slavery.
We've taken two pieces out of the bag, one from Sweden, one from Hawaii. Here comes one a little closer to home. After hearing Bill O'Reilly dance around the race issue for weeks talking about a beating here and a beating or attack there, he finally admitted that there is a growing and systemic problem concerning black-on-white hate crimes nationwide. O'Reilly mentioned the number of hate crimes that had taken place in his native New York, one in which a man was killed, but then went on to mention that these attacks are going on across the country and that much of them, though certainly not all of them, can be attributed to the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman self-defense shooting. Your show is forcing this issue. Keep going. That comes from a listener in Arkansas, Keith. And one more quick one. This one came in actually just a few minutes ago, right before the show started. I was sitting here at the studio when it popped up in my inbox. Hello, James, Keith, and the whole cesspool staff. I want to thank you for your hard work in promoting our cause. It takes a lot of integrity and courage to continue to defend the South and whites in such a hostile climate. Above all, I appreciate your philosophical approach. No compromise, no backing down, and no apologies. That is exactly what makes the political cesspool so great. Listeners can be confident when they tune in, they will not hear a compromised message or a pathetic groveling apology. It's also why TPC is so worthy of financial support. We know exactly what we're going to get. Thank you for your part in making our future. God bless you. And that comes from Mark. He doesn't write where he's from, but we appreciate him just the same.
Folks, we need your help. We do this, unfortunately, several times a year, but we have to do it. We need money to operate. None of us are rich here at the Political Cesspool broadcast staff or with the Political Cesspool radio station and program. And as a result, to get this message to you involves personal sacrifice, and we do need money to help pay for the stations. But, you know, in the environment we have in today's broadcast media, you as a broadcast program have to pay a station in order to get your program on. It's not like the old days. There are a few top broadcasting icons like Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and people like this that get paid. But for the most part, you have to pay to be on the air. We need your help to reach a broader audience. We found out something really remarkable last week. We are the number six in the time slot for internet air traffic for radio programs. We were just behind Michael Savage and Alex Jones. And, you know, that's incredible for a little shoestring operation like us, folks. We'll get back to you with more after these words from our sponsor.
September is National Preparedness Month in the U.S., and it's National Savings Month at Freeze Dry Guy. Are you prepared to save? All Mountain House freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans are now 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These long-lasting foods for emergency preparedness with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These easy foods for camping, backpacking, hunting, and sailing are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. These delicious foods, freeze-dried to lock in the taste, aroma, and freshness, are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. All cans of Mountain House freeze-dried meats, entrees, fruits, and veggies are 40% off at freezedryguy.com. Be prepared and save 40% now through September 30th at freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we're going to spend a little extra time tonight in the mailbag than we typically do, partly because we have two questions that came in via email that I'd like for Keith to answer on air. A couple of reasons for that. Number one, they're both great questions, provocative questions. Number two, they were addressed to Keith. And here it is. Number one, James, I had a question that I think Keith would have an intelligent opinion on. No definite right or wrong answer, but we can speculate. Due to their history and experience in the Western Christian world, Jews have been one of the prime forces for mass immigration, multiculturalism, gay rights, radical political theories, etc. In short, they have tended to adopt and propagate ideas that are hostile to their host society in an attempt to change those societies. Jews lived for centuries in the Arab Muslim world, but this has not been the case there. Why not? I have my own ideas, but would be interested in hearing yours. This comes, Keith, from a student at the George Washington University School of Law.
Which is in Washington, D.C., by the way. Thank you for that provocative question. The answer is very simple. Muslims, Arabs, are Jew-wise. Gentiles, particularly European white Gentiles, typically are not. We have allowed the camel's nose in the tent. We've allowed Jews to come in and disguise themselves. You know, it is almost a hate crime to out somebody as being a Jew nowadays. A sportscaster, for example, almost all of the so-called white sportscasters for ESPN, for example, and I know you're getting your fill of them today during football season, most of those people are Jewish. But they never advertise themselves as being Jewish. Chris Berman, Tony Kornheiser, Steve Levy, people like that, they're Jewish. They are skimming off all the top jobs here, but in the Arab world, Jews were kept more or less identifiable. They were not the mainstream in those countries. And furthermore, the people, the Arabs, have a history of being displaced in Palestine with the State of Israel, which was a Zionist Jewish operation. And as a result, they're under no illusions about Jews or what Jews are about. Furthermore, Arabs have a very strong sense of racial and ethnic solidarity. That is their cultural immune system. We used to have it here in the West, particularly in the South, where Southern white people were proud of their ancestry, kept up with it, and they knew that it was important to have a sense of racial solidarity in order to protect yourself in the culture wars. There is competition going on out there. You can't fight in that competition effectively with one or both hands tied behind your back. The Arabs know this. The Arabs are under no illusions about the true nature of Jews. They're Jew-wise. We need to take a page out of their book. We need to recapture our knowledge about Jews that really was part of our ancestral history. You know, Christianity, for example, only recently decided that Jews were the chosen people. If you read the King James Bible, if you look at the two millennial history of Christianity, Christians for most of that 2,000 years thought that Jews were, one, the people that killed our God, two, the people that were the original and most obstinate enemies of our faith throughout its history. That's the truth about Jews. That's what our ancestors in their wisdom thought about Jews, which is very much what Arabs believe today about Jews. They are the eternal people that shall dwell apart, as Professor Kevin MacDonald calls them. He's the head of the Occidental Observer. He is one of the most acute critics of Jewish power and influence throughout the world. And they are the moving force behind liberalism. Arabs understand it. We don't. That's it, in a nutshell.
And it gets back to what we always say when this topic is spoken about on this program. You can have a very rational objection and an objective criticism to the liberalism that is put forth and advanced primarily by Jewish power and influence in this country without being some sort of a raging anti-Semite, neo-Nazi. You should be able to debate these things. We think that a lot of the influence that has been brought upon this country by Jews has been detrimental to, as this student to put it, the host society. And we should be able to speak out about that. Does it mean that we hate them? Absolutely not. We just disagree with the changes that they have been very effective in implementing. And that's our God-given right to speak out about that and to debate that without fear of reprisal, without fear of losing our jobs, without fear of losing our livelihoods or be called all sorts of nasty names. And we will continue to do that on this radio program. Okay, Keith, one more question from the mailbag, and then we're going to move on. Prior to 1965, it was normal for a family to not only to survive on one income, but also have the ability to buy a home, put food on the table, and purchase a car. After about 1975, it became virtually impossible for a family to survive, much less realize the dream of home ownership on only one income. What happened? Did houses become more difficult to build? Did food become harder to grow? Did cars require more steel? I don't think there's one answer to this question. Integration, civil rights, massive non-white immigration, and a plethora of welfare programs all contributed. There are two things that stand out in my mind as being seminal: the rise of feminism and stagflation. Only those over 50 will remember that term. It was high inflation combined with high unemployment. These two things worked together to really destroy this once great country. There were at the time, massive layoffs, just as quotas for minority hiring were being put into place. So when Dad got laid off, it was much easier for Mom to get a job to keep the family afloat. If there are young people listening, this was all alluded to often in the television show That 70s Show. Red lost his job at the plant, so Kitty went back to work. When did men go back to work? They did so at a higher nominal wage, but with far less buying power. Thus, people were fooled into thinking that they were prospering. When you look at the main players in both the Federal Reserve, the people who control the economy, and the leading feminists, you will all find a same common denominator. Is this a coincidence? My personal belief is that you must look at groups of people as you would a colony of ants with a grasshopper. If you look at the individual ants, you may see some that look like they are pulling to the right and others that are pulling to the left, but the grasshopper keeps moving in the same direction down the hole. All right, so Keith, I guess the basic question in that, and that was a great email. I had difficulty reading it. My eyes here are playing tricks on me. But what happened with, what was the main cause in the decline of their, at one time in this country, not in the too distant past. A man could do it all. Now it's both spouses and the dog working just to barely scrape by.
Well, what happened, in a nutshell, was the triumph of liberalism from the Brown versus Board of Education decision forward. That's it. The Brown versus Board of Education decision was the opening gun of the triumph of liberalism. What is liberalism? Liberalism is a series of radical egalitarian social movements. The Civil Rights Movement, which said that blacks were the same as or just as good as whites. The Criminal Rights Movement, that said that criminals are the same as or just as good as law-abiding citizens. Feminism, that says that women are the same as or just as good as men. Homosexual rights, homosexuals are the same as or just as good as lawful citizens. Immigrant rights, illegal immigrants are the same as or just as good as lawful citizens of the United States. Environmentalism, plants and animals are the same as or just as good as human beings. All of these radical egalitarian movements came not to help blacks, women, criminals, illegal immigrants, plants and animals, or any of these other groups that supposedly are the beneficiaries. What they came to do was to dethrone white males from their position of authority and power in the Western society. We'll get back on this subject after these words from our sponsor.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. We got a caller, Dave in Illinois. We're going to get to him in just 1 second. The question that Keith was answering before the break was, why was it in the 60s and before families could not only survive but thrive with just one income, that being the father, the husband? A lot of things have changed since 65, obviously, and to state the obvious, we've gotten off the gold standard. The dollar was pretty much made completely phony after 1971. You have massive inflation, and then we're being taxed to oblivion. So all that plays certainly a large part. Keith, I'll give you another minute or two, and then we're going to get to Dave.
Okay, well, I was talking about the triumph of liberalism and radical egalitarian movements that are the meat and potatoes of liberalism. Well, what happened as a result of these radical egalitarian movements that became the law of the land due to the triumph of liberalism? Well, for example, when women were more or less thrust into the workforce and told that they had the just as much right as anyone else for any job, and furthermore, they need to have pay equity. A nurse should be paid as much as a plumber, for example. When that happened, what the elites managed was, with one death stroke, doubling the size of the labor pool. Okay? Doubling the size of the labor pool was a, you know, wonderful stratagem of the left. Furthermore, giving homosexuals preferential rights to jobs, likewise, again, increase the size of the labor pool, bringing in illegal immigrants to do work, even further increase the labor pool. So even without outsourcing and offshoring of American industry, which was another globalist liberal initiative, which has taken away our best paying jobs, there was a tremendous dilution of the labor pool by liberalism for the benefit of globalists and elites at the top, and to the detriment of the average working man of America. And as a result, we've seen incredible dislocation. You know, even in a place like Memphis, Tennessee, which is not the union capital of America by any stretch of the imagination, typically a manufacturing sector job paid $20 an hour plus benefits. A service sector job like driving a forklift at one of these various warehouses we have here, because we're a distribution center, maxes out at 10 bucks an hour with no benefits. So even if mom and dad work, they can't duplicate the same income dad had in 1965 when he had a job in the manufacturing sector. This is all engineered. This is what is intended. If you will recall, we had a group of supposed loonies called the John Birch Society back in the 50s. They used to say, beware the one-worlders who think that there's no reason Americans should live any better than Ecuadorians. And we thought they were crazy. Well, that's exactly the way the globalists feel. How dare white Americans feel that they should live at a higher standard than somebody in Ecuador or somebody at any other locale in the third world. And they've been moving us towards their goal of impoverishing America, making America just like the rest of the world. They want to equalize incomes throughout the world. Well, if you live in a place like America, we have a long way to fall before we hit the equal of the rest of the world. We're pulling up the rest of the world by sending our manufacturing sector overseas. Meanwhile, we're dragging Americans down, raising non-Americans up throughout the world. This is part of the globalist plan, and it was being accomplished by the triumph of liberalism.
Dave from Illinois, are you still waiting?
Yes, gentlemen. Good evening.
Good evening. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I was calling just to make a comment. Last week, there was a 60 Minutes interview of President Assad of Syria. And in it, Charlie Rose, the interviewer, seemed to suggest that it was immoral that Assad, being from the Shiite minority, was ruling over the Sunni majority. And I thought that was just a prime example of the rank hypocrisy of the American political left, especially considering that we have a black man in Barack Obama given that the black minority of 12% is ruling over the 63% white majority.
Well, of course, whenever you can tell when a liberal is lying because his lips are moving. Charlie Rose is a liberal. You've got to understand that they're never going to come out and be candid with you about why they want to unseat Assad. They want to unseat Assad for the same reason they want to unseat Saddam Hussein, for the same reason they wanted to unseat Gaddafi, Mubarak, and a plethora of other Arab leaders. They're following the clean break memorandum authored by Richard Perl, David Wormser, Michael Adine, Paul Wolfowitz, Jewish technocrats in the State Department. This was authored in 1995. They proposed regime change in all Arab nations within striking distance of Israel, assuming that they were going to get leadership, replacement leadership, that would be friendlier or more compliant with the existence of the State of Israel. Instead, what they have done is create the mother of all storms over there. But then you need to understand that it doesn't matter who the president is. This thing was spawned in the Clinton administration. All of these Jewish technocrats, Wolfowitz, Perl, Adine, Wormser, found employment at the highest level in the Bush State Department or White House staff. And then Obama, the supposed left-wing peacenik, is following the clean break memorandum to the letter right now. He's made more progress on it than any other president. He's gotten rid of Gaddafi. He's gotten rid of Mubarak. He's in the process of getting rid of Assad. This is, you know, and it's being done at the behest of Jewish power and influence. Let's just go ahead and say it, Dave.
Oh, I agree 100%. But hopefully that wasn't lost on the viewing audience, because, of course, you know, liberals are champions of majorities when they don't like a particular minority, in this case in Syria.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Dave, I'm just saying you brought that up, and I wanted to, again, state the obvious, and it's a trend that we mock so often. It's just, I mean, it either never occurred to Charlie Rose or he just plowed through it. The sheer and blatant hypocrisy that popped to your mind as soon as the words finished rolling off of his tongue. I mean, that right. is just so insanely hypocritical and such a blatant double standard that it almost defies logic that he could even utter it with a straight face. But you see, it never bothers them. And if it does even occur to them that they're being hypocrites, they just don't care, because they know that most Americans, you know, are far more concerned with whether or not their favorite college football team won today than to ever be astute enough to catch on to the game that's being played here. Mm-hmm. But there are people like you out there, Dave, that do. And that 1%, that 1% that you're a part of may very well be the 1% that reclaims America's destiny.
Well, let's hope. But thank you very much, and you guys keep up the great work.
Well, we certainly will. Thank you for listening. Keith, I know we spent... an extended amount of time reading the mail. It was worth it. It's always worth it. We have a relationship, a partnership with our audience that is really familial. You've gotten, about a half a dozen stories in the segment and change to cover. Where do we start?
Well, let's start with the Central Gardens Association home tour that I attended 2 weeks ago here in Memphis, Tennessee. The Central Gardens Association is a neighborhood association for an historic old neighborhood that has some grand homes in it. My home, which isn't so grand, is one of them. I went on the home tour. I used to be on the Central Gardens board. Then I got off. I decided I wanted to see the homes on the home tour. I hadn't been on to the home tour in about 10 years. And during that 10-year period, I noticed something had changed that was very significant, that ties right in with the topic of why did people make more money and have more facilities to support their family on one income in 1965 than having both parents work today has under new circumstances. Well, here's what I noticed that was alarming to me. 4 out of 5, 80% of the grand homes that were featured in the Central Gardens tour. These would be homes that have been done up to the nth degree, totally spiffed up, looking great, standing tall, interior decorated to the max and whatnot, were owned by gay, homosexual male couples, okay? Two male homosexuals. About the rest of them were either two lesbians on one case. There were two bungalows, two smaller homes. One owned by a pair of lesbians and the other owned by a heterosexual couple that had one child. Now, what has happened? We're going to explore this in more depth after a few more words from our sponsor.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. That number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Still coming up tonight, you're going to hear from Political Cesspool co-hosts Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Eddie called me about an hour before the show, and he is fired up tonight. He is going to be a loose cannon for sure. We're going to try to keep him. He's going to be completely off the rails tonight. He's fired up. He's passionate about the issues he's coming in to discuss. Also, Winston Smith will be calling in. We hope also to hear from Peter Scoop Stanton, our correspondents, and the featured guest tonight. We're keeping it all in-house tonight. Featured guest, third hour, the owner of the Liberty News Radio Network and the host of the Liberty Roundtable broadcast, Monday through Friday. Don't miss it. Sam Bushman will be on to break down the incident that occurred on Monday in Washington, D.C., the shootings at the U.S. Naval Yard, you're not going to want to miss our presentation in the third hour. It's going to continue to be an absolute barn burner this evening. But first, back to Keith Alexander. Keith, you were taking us on the Central Gardens home tour, a tour that takes place here in Memphis. It visits select houses and talks about the history and the people who live there, I guess. Runs through your neighborhood. Doesn't make a stop at your house. No. But nevertheless, you know a little bit about it. And why is it important to our audience tonight?
Well, it doesn't stop at my house because I'm a heterosexual white male. Now, heterosexual white males were not the heads of the households in almost all of the homes that were featured on the Central Gardens home tour this year. Now, quite frankly, I could do with a little bit of change in decor in some of the homes owned by homosexuals. I'm not particularly fond of coming into a home and seeing homoerotic art works all over the place. Men in jock straps and things like this, paintings like that all the time. But it was an obvious flag that this home was owned by homosexuals. Now, you have to ask yourself, what has happened in America? Homosexuals are now the ones that have the showplace homes. When I was a kid, that wasn't the case. Homosexuals were marginalized. It was called the love that dare not speak its name. As Pat Buchanan said, now the love that dare not speak its name won't keep its mouth shut. But what has happened? Why aren't heterosexual white couples the people that own the best homes in the neighborhood the way they used to be? Well, I started breaking it down in my mind. I said, why is this? Well, first of all, homosexual men have a verve for interior decorating. That's granted, okay? Most of your interior decorators are going to be homosexual men or women. And the homosexual men have that feminine type sensibility and sensitivity. They like to decorate. They like colors. They like fabrics. They like paint. They like, they've got all of those characteristics. But that's just a small part. You can hire that. And in the past, heterosexuals hired these people to do that work. But now the people that own the top homes are homosexuals. Well, homosexuals typically have two full-bodied incomes. You have one interior decorator, one hairstylist, or something like this, and they're both making money. In a lot of heterosexual white households, the wife doesn't work even today, despite feminism. But the big difference is homosexuals typically don't have children. If you have children in Memphis and you're white, you're probably sending those children to a private school. Private school tuition is a very big expense. These places aren't cheap. They're no longer the segregation academies that were run by the White Citizens Council back after busing became the law of the land in the early 70s. Those schools were intentionally non-exclusive and low-cost and trying to help parents. Those private schools are now run by people that have gone through the same educational establishment and schools of education that liberal public school teachers go to, and they have no sympathy whatsoever with the plight of white parents, so they're going to bend you over the log and charge you as much as they can. And basically, this is a product of the Brown decision, Brown versus Board of Education, May 17, 1954, that racially integrated public schools and its progeny, and the white flight to private schools was a natural and predictable consequence of this. And because of that, basically, white heterosexual couples in many parts of this nation have been impoverished. They may be able to afford a home in Central Gardens, but they can't afford to fix it up to the extent that it would get on the home tour. This is what has happened. This is real indicia, rubber meets the road proof of the dispossession and the impoverishment that has been brought upon white heterosexual couples in America due to the triumph of liberalism. In fact, the seminal act or the seminal event of the triumph of liberalism in America, which was the Brown decision in 1954, it's still having reverberations and effects today. It is impoverishing white heterosexual couples. You may live in a big house in Central Gardens, but it's probably a barn. It's not going to look like one of these homes on the home tour, because homosexuals typically don't have children. As a result, they typically avoid paying private school tuition. So they have all that money that you would spend on private school tuition, typically in Memphis now, $15,000 per kid per year, to plow back into decorating their homes. That's my view. What do you think, James?
I think we're running out of time, and we've got one more topic that we're going to be discussing later on in the program with Eddie Miller, of course, the desecration of the grave of Nathan Bedford Forrest. We talked about it a couple of times last week. We put up a story about it on our website on Monday, but I really want you to sink your teeth into this, Keith, before we run out of time. I know you only have an hour tonight with us. What is it about this incident that is so important? What is it more than just the vandalization of a grave that people should be taking from this? Obviously, it goes without saying that Nathan Bedford Forrest was one of the greatest Americans. He's an authentic American. He was a true hero. He was almost mythological in his standing and in his exploits. But what does it show about the decline and rot of American culture?
What it shows is what happens to a city when non-whites gain control of the government. You know, blacks have a lot of talents. Hispanics have a lot of talents. But if you want to maintain a first world community, you need to have white people in charge. As James has said often back to the days of his CNN interviews, you can't have a first world community with a third world population. And you particularly can't have it when you've got third world political leadership. What it shows is that, you know, this desecration is a consequence of the unnaming of the Confederate themed park, public parks in Memphis, by the black political leadership. This is more or less the encouragement that some rabble needed to go out and start desecrating the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest or Jefferson Davis or whoever in these parks. It's more or less being done with the tacit approval of Memphis's political leadership. Now, why do I say that only whites are the people, best suited to rule in a multiracial, multi-ethnic, multicultural setting? Why is that? Because we're the only people sensitive enough not to try and gratuitously offend other races. Let me give you a perfect example. California. What?
Mention the Indians that we renamed.
Yeah, for example, we didn't rename all these Indian place names like Nankana Creek or Loosahatchee River and things like this. We still have all of those names in place because we honor the Indian heritage of America. California still has its major cities with Hispanic names like San Francisco and Los Angeles. They didn't name it St. Francis City. They named it San Francisco. Why? Because they are sensitive to the sensibilities of other non-white, of other people that are not of their race. White people are sensitive to the sensibilities of Hispanics, blacks, American Indians. None of these other groups are sensitive to the sensibilities or the feelings of any other group except their own. And if you want a perfect recipe for racial conflict, put people in charge of the government who are going to start shooting the bird, figuratively speaking, at every other racial group in the community. We're now in charge. We're large and in charge, the blacks of Memphis say, and we're no longer going to honor your heroes. We're going to start renaming streets after Reverend Cleophas Highstepper, for example, and we're not going to name streets after people like Nathan Bedford Forrest. We have a Forrest Street in Memphis. I'm sure that's going to be on the chopping block, too. Basically, they are unduly provocative. The only people that try, you know, for example, can you imagine any white-run city in America with a white mayor, a white city council, renaming or unnaming Martin Luther King Boulevard, which is ubiquitous. Almost every city, town, and hamlet in America has a Martin Luther King Boulevard. White leadership would never dream of changing that, but black leadership would change the name of Forest Park here in the South, in the home of Nathan Bedford Forrest, because they don't care about getting along with white people. They want to show white people that they are now the people in charge, and we can do any damn thing we damn well please, and you're going to be powerless to do anything about it. This is what the future of America has in store for us. This does not bode well for peace and accommodation between the races. As white people diminish in numbers, the people that we replace us are not going to be kinder and gentler than us.
We'll be back with the second hour right after this, folks. Keith Alexander the Great, give him a round of applause. Stay tuned.